Everyone, welcome to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, Episode 9, April 3rd, 2018. We are on WrestleMania week, kicking high gear on the road to WrestleMania. Everything's looking pretty good so far, even after a lackluster Raw. No Ashton. He is MIA. We can't get a hold of him. Every week we seem to lose a guy, so it's par for the course at this point. It's me, Travis, and Aaron this week.
I'm on a roll right now, though.
The last two shows, very impressive.
Yeah.
There was no show on Friday. I had some personal issues to deal with back home, but we decided to do two shows this week. We have today, and then we have a live show tomorrow at 7 Eastern on Google Hangouts that... Knowing us is probably going to go to shit very quick, but we'll power through it.
That's the first time I've heard the time being 7 Eastern.
I've said 7 Eastern a couple times.
I don't pay attention, you know that.
Oh, I know a lot of things about you, Bucko. Aaron probably didn't know that either, he's just hiding it, but...
Any time's fine with me.
Uh-huh. Okay. Just a couple things to get through today. It's not going to be a long show. Half hour at most. We're going to get through the New Japan stuff because it's WrestleMania week, and there were two New Japan shows. Obviously, Strong Style Evolved in Long Beach, and then Sakura Genesis over this past weekend that happened. So we'll just get through those quick. Also, Raw to talk about. But... Raw wasn't all that great, so we'll just power through the New Japan shows first and then talk about Raw, and then we'll get out of here. Strong Style Evolved took place from Long Beach, California on March 25th. I was only able to watch the past three shows, and I've been in such a rush with personal issues and everything that I didn't watch the rest of the show. So I watched from... did you watch the Ospreay and Jushin Thunder Liger match, Travis?
Did. It was really good.
Okay. Will Ospreay won that match with the Os Cutter, I know that, but I figured it'd be a really good match, and then Rey Mysterio, or Will Ospreay after the match challenged Rey Mysterio to a match. I figured Rey Mysterio had a commitment to New Japan for one match, so that's probably the match we're going to see. Ospreay and Mysterio has happened in the past in a British Federation, so there's that.
It's not going to happen anytime soon because Will Ospreay's a dumbass.
Apparently he's cleared for WrestleMania weekend, and that's a scary thought. Yeah, that's a scary thought. We'll talk about why that's a scary thought in 2 seconds. Tag team match, really good tag team match. Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. of Suzuki Gun took on Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii from Chaos in a tag team match. Really fun match. Zack Sabre Jr. got the submission victory on Tomohiro Ishii. Easily a 4-star tag match. Probably one of the better New Japan tags I've seen until the main event. They announced that they would be returning to the Cow Palace in San Francisco on July 7th for a G1 special in the United States, so that ought to be a fun show. I think we'll see a Kenny Omega IWGP heavyweight title match there, all depending on how they book Kenny and Cody at Supercard of Honor, I think. IWGP U.S. heavyweight championship match, the Sling Blade Jay White took on Adam Hangman Page. I thought it was a really good match. It was kind of dull at some points, but Jay White hit his reverse STO for the victory and retained his IWGP US title. But a really good match. One of, I think, Adam Hangman Page's best match I've seen, personally. And then the main event tag team match. I said before in the last show we did that it would be the best match in the last 10 years. I said it was... By the way, this is the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi versus the Young Bucks. I said 5 stars right after it ended. After a rewatch and after looking at the botches that happened on the outside, I gave it 4.75. Still a really good psychology match and still a really, really greatly worked match, but it was just not 5 stars in my opinion. Meltzer gave it 5 stars, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a. I mean, it was a real. It was a really, really good match. But there was a couple of botches. That Kota Ibushi botch that was rolling through Twitter there was pretty ridiculous. But
messed up twice the same move. That was
hilarious. He missed a moonsault, and then landed on the apron, and then missed another one, and then just decided to kick him in the gut, and I was like, "Oh, Kota." So. Yeah, it was a really good match. Nothing, I'd say 5 stars. I'd say there's a couple better tag matches I've seen the past couple years. But psychology-wise, especially the way they worked over Matt's bad back, it was awesome stuff. So moving on to Sakura Genesis, that took place this past Saturday night, Sunday morning. We'll just talk about the big matches here for a second. Will Ospreay took on Marty Scurll and defended his IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship successfully, winning with the Springboard Os Cutter, but not before he killed himself. Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll did a spot on the apron, which was Ospreay giving Scurll a running Spanish fly to the outside. And while they were in the rotation of this move, Ospreay's head hit the apron and did a 180-degree turn. If you have not seen this, search it out on Twitter. It is not good.
I think his legs got caught on the rope when he went to flip backwards.
Yeah.
It is also posted on our page, so.
Yeah, it is also on our page. Not good. I thought he would. This is already a near mid-20s dude with neck and back issues doing stuff like this, and I get that it's for our entertainment and stuff, but and Will Ospreay's always said he will retire at the age of 30, but he's going to be retiring in a wheelchair if he doesn't stop doing stuff like this, so I really hope he tones it down, but I guess he is cleared for WrestleMania weekend, all the indie shows in New Orleans, so what do I know? Bullet Club's Cody Rhodes and Hangman Page took on the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. Not as good of a match as the match in Long Beach, but that had the Young Bucks, but it was still a really good match. And then Kazuchika Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the IWG Heavyweight Championship. Very, very, very good match. Four and three-quarter stars from me there. And it was announced that at Duntaku on May 4th, Kazuchika Okada will be taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and trying to break Hiroshi Tanahashi's title defense record of 12. This was Okada's 12th successful title defense on the show. Tanahashi sits with the record at 12, so it's a really nice story. Let's talk about Raw real quick. Let's just power through this. This was not the best go-home episode. I feel like every year I say this, that it's not a good go-home episode of Raw before WrestleMania, but
they could always do so much better. Like, they drop the ball all the time on the go-home
show. If they had a really good opening to this show, I would probably be more inclined to say they did good, but this was not a good opening to the show. There were some people...
The opening. I think I'm the only one that liked it.
I liked it. 75%.
I like 10% of it. That's generous. So we'll talk about it. We kicked off with the coach, Jonathan Coachman, in the ring, and immediately I thought we were going to get The Rock as a result of this, but that was not in the plans. So we kicked off with Coach in the ring. There was a massive table there for the face-off between Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, who came out first, and the team of Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey, who followed. Coach says they are going to ask questions from the WWE Universe. I don't even know if they asked questions from the fans during this whole thing, which was another...
Yeah, they did.
Did they? Okay.
It was from Twitter. It was the...
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
The pinnacle of wrestling journalism on Twitter. Anyway... Coach was going to ask questions from the universe, but Triple H interrupts to say that the chance of Ronda Rousey will become silence on Sunday, and it's all because Angle will fail her. Hunter says he knows that Kurt Angle has intensity and integrity, but lacks intelligence, as proven by the fact that he has ruined Ronda Rousey's signing by setting her up at for failure at WrestleMania and asks Kurt why he did this. Kurt is about to answer, but Ronda Rousey interrupts and asks why Triple H signed her while being two-faced. Stephanie apologizes for her outburst and says after they beat her, they'll make sure she is in line and tries to get the questions going. Ronda tells Steph to answer a question and is told they signed her since she is a star and it was a good business decision. But because of Kurt's actions, he has cost the company and her millions of dollars while they both still work for the company and asks who does she think she is. Kurt says that she is Ronda freaking Rousey and on Sunday she's going to make Stephanie tap out. Triple H wonders why Kurt is so sure since Ronda has done nothing in the company yet while to Stephanie and him it is their entire life. By the way, Stephanie's had 25 total matches. So her experience and Ronda Rousey's experience is about the same, but, you know, we can conveniently ignore that. Coach finally gets to the questions and asks how important it is to win and what the victory will mean. Stephanie says this will prove that you need to quell uprisings when you're the boss and have them respect authority. The next question asks how Kurt feels about teaming with Rousey, and he says that Ronda is the baddest woman on the planet and she will win no matter what. He asks for the team's final thoughts. Stephanie says in the record books, Rousey's first match will be a loss, and everyone knows how she deals with losses. Rousey asks if Stephanie is left or right-handed because she wants to make sure Stephanie can sign her checks after she rips her arm off, which was the only good part of this segment for me. Coach asks both teams to pose for a photo op and has them stand face-to-face in the middle of the ring because, well, this is apparently the UFC now. Kurt and Hunter shake hands, but when Stephanie puts out her hand, Ronda refuses and gets in her face. Stephanie tries to sidestep, but Ronda blocks her. And as Kurt tries to break him up, Hunter hits Kurt in the back with the mic, which causes Rousey to grab him by the throat. And while she's distracted, Stephanie lightly puts her through the table.
Correction, she didn't grab him by the throat. She grabbed him by the beard.
She did something. Her little hand was around his big skull. It looked weird. Everything about this was weird. I don't know.
The way the table broke just made me like, oh, come on, please redo that.
Oh,
it's horrible. The table was horrible.
This whole thing just made my head hurt. A lot of things yesterday made my head hurt, and this show did not help. All right, we had Bayley versus Sonya Deville. This whole match was Aaron fawning over how cool Sonya Deville was.
She is pretty cool.
Bayley won with a roll up, and after her match, she is beat down by Sonya and Mandy, but Sasha comes out to make the save. They throw the members of Absolution over the top rope, and Sasha asks Bayley to raise her hand and patronizes her. Bayley doesn't stand for it and gives her a headbutt before striking her, and during the brawl, Sonya and Mandy attack the both of them and stand tall.
Again, Bayley did need her help. I mean, she was getting the crap beat out of her.
The way they booked Bayley is just mind-blowingly stupid over the past 2 years. And
I guess we're not going to do that match at Mania then?
Nah, they're in the Battle Royale. Their arc in NXT finished in Brooklyn at SummerSlam, and that's what they've been trying to do here. They're going to make it finish at SummerSlam, or at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn.
So they're going to drag it on even longer.
It's been dragging for a year and a half. What's another 6 months?
God. just let it happen. Let's move on.
Do the generic, oh, I hate you, I hate you. They're both going to eliminate each other in the battle.
If you can't tell by the tone of my voice, I'm really hoping SmackDown has a killer show tonight because this one hurt me a little bit. Paul Heyman is on his phone backstage.
SmackDown's not having a good show.
Yeah.
We have AJ and Shinsuke against Gable and Benjamin. I'm holding out my hopes. Paul Heyman is on his phone backstage talking about the Brocktagon when Kurt Angle approaches him to tell him that the Mania main event must stay intact. Heyman promises that they will just say their piece and not start another fight. And Angle says he just wants to make sure that Roman doesn't injure Brock when Heyman laughs off and says he'll think about it. The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro come out and say they don't care who Braun's partner is because no matter how strong Strowman is, you need to tag in your partner when you're hurt and be on the same page with them. No matter who Braun picks, he'll never be a real team with them and will have no chance of winning the tag team titles. Strowman comes out and says that they're right, that he doesn't work well with others, but understands that he needs a partner and he has one. He says that he was just talking with his partner and he doesn't appreciate what they were saying. The bar asked for the partner to come out in Bronze's only under one stipulation, if he gets a match with one of the bar. Sheamus agrees and Braun leaves to get his partner and warns him that he's a lot like him before going to the back. Braun's music hits and some unknown man in a shirt and glasses looking like White Devon Dudley comes out and says his name is Brain, Braun's twin brother. Yes, you heard that right, by the way. He takes off the gear and shockingly, it's revealed to be Braun Strowman. The bar beat down on Braun. Yeah, reveal of the year, I know. The bar beat down on Braun, but he's able to overpower both of them and throw them out of the ring. In a backstage promo, Goldust quotes Andre the Giant's character from The Princess Bride and says after he wins the Battle Royal, he will lay his hands on the golden statue and HBO will have to do a special about him. That was probably my favorite part of the show, not gonna lie. Matt Hardy says he seeks the same prize as Goldust and that giants from throughout history have been training him to win. He challenges the Dust of Gold to face him tonight. John Cena comes out to try and call The Undertaker one last time before WrestleMania. Cena admits that he was wrong and that they are out of time with no answer. The silence means no, and while some are upset, he isn't. John says he's going to WrestleMania fired up as a fan. He says that Cole told him to enter the Battle Royal, be Braun's partner, enter another title match, and thank God they finally addressed that shit. For the past 4 weeks, it's been like, why can't you just enter the Battle Royal, John? It's as easy as saying, I'm entering the Battle Royal, and no one gives a shit because it's wrestling. I'm glad they addressed this. It took them until the week of, but I'm very glad that this got addressed. Cena says he didn't want to do that because he didn't want to take a match from a full-time wrestler. If he faces Undertaker, no one would be blamed for holding someone back. It'd be just two legends duking it out in one last chance. Cena says this WrestleMania is the perfect time for a change with all that's happening in his life with his potential marriage and his Hollywood career. John says he is proud to go to WrestleMania as a fan and watch the greatest card of all time, where great performers like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins will fight, where Daniel Bryan will return, where AJ Styles will get the WWE title match he deserves. He's even excited that the show falls on Rusev Day. He says he's excited to see what Elias will do and is proud of every women's match at the show. Cena takes a second.
Apparently he's going to get drunk.
Oh, did you see my post in the chat about that? That was...
Oh, I loved it.
Ashton didn't think it was too funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
But Ashton's not a fan of this storyline in general, so... Cena takes a second to apologize for The Undertaker, saying he tried whatever he could, as did fans in every city he was in. He says that Atlanta didn't really try tonight, so he challenges them to get louder for him. He tells them to get louder and louder. If they want Undertaker's lightning, they need to be the Thunder, and now I'm pretty much thinking the promo package for this match will be Lightning and the Thunder from Imagine Dragons. Cena tells Taker that what he just heard was 4 weeks of people giving it all for him but not responding to shows that he isn't a man. And he may have left his hat in the ring, but he left his balls at home, and Cena leaves. Undertaker's home is SmackDown. He has to pick up his balls at SmackDown tonight, is all I'm saying.
I sure hope so. That'd be kind of cool. But...
I fully understand the appeal of a 53-year-old man being driven down in a bike, being played down to the ring by Kid Rock. I understand that that appeals to the heart of every American deep down inside, so I understand why they're holding him off till Mania.
Wait, that's what we think happening? We think he's coming back as the biker?
Oh, I'm fully convinced. I said it as a shitty joke like 8 weeks ago, but now I'm just absolutely convinced.
I'm pretty sure I said it as a joke a long time ago. Like,
I don't like Biker Taker, so that's why I said it as a joke. I much prefer the Dead Man. Biker Taker was like the itineration of like the worst Taker, and he was out of shape and injured in like early 2000s. But you know,
he's still freaking Taker though.
Yeah. You know what?
And at least he looks to be in pretty good shape this time, so.
You know what? It's like the seventh. It's going to be like the seventh most hype match at Mania, and it's John Cena and The Undertaker. I don't care anymore. Give me the nostalgia pop. I don't. you know, just...
Yeah.
I am so hyped for so many other things that this is going to be just a nice surprise, and that's why I'm saying just be happy he's coming at Mania, because it's been a nice storyline, if anything. Yeah. Although if Ashton were here, he'd be saying different. Backstage, Kurt meets with Roman and tells him that Cena versus Undertaker already isn't happening and he doesn't want another one canceled, which didn't make sense to me because Cena versus Undertaker was never set anyway, so how would it be canceled if it wasn't set?
It's not the smartest, we know this.
I just want CTE Kurt to be a gimmick. He doesn't want a conflict between Roman and Brock tonight. Roman says he isn't leaving if Brock is there tonight in case Heyman says anything to set him off and to take the peace treaty he has to the pawn shop where he sold his gold medals. Backstage, Braun Strowman comes across Kurt Hawkins, who is wearing a Pick Me Braun shirt, and asks to be his partner. Braun asks what his win-loss record is, and Kurt admits it hasn't been great, but this could be his big break. Braun then throws him through a wall,
and he says, definitely yeeted him, that's for sure.
Yeah, he yeeted him through a drywall and says, there's your big break. Renee Young has a sit-down interview with Nia Jax. Nia says Alexa's comments brought her back to how she was bullied as a child, but she has learned that you have to only care about what you think of yourself, not what others think of you. Renee says many women in the back respect Nia, which Jax thanks her for, but Alexa's comments shattered a bit of her confidence. However, after a look in the mirror, she realized that she doesn't care about that shit and shouldn't feel sorry for who she is. Alexa represents everyone who doubted her over her life. Nia talks directly to Alexa, calling her an insecure little girl who's going to be squashed like a bug at Mania, and I can't fucking wait. Oh, I'm so ready for that match. Seth Rollins and Finn Balor had an absolutely fantastic match. A lot of great teases in the match. The buckle bomb into the turnbuckle or into the barricade was teased at one point. That was a really nice touch. And then the roll up into the curb stomp from Seth Rollins to Finn Balor was really nice. This match was produced by Tyson Kidd. I guess he's been producing a match a week on Raw like every agent does. So he's really getting into the thick of things, and he produced a really good match here.
Agreed, 100%.
Matt Hardy and Goldust, very interesting match. Hardy wins with the Twist of Fate, gets ready to head into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And Elias defeated Heath Slater with the Drift Away along the way.
Rhino's, did you notice Rhino's shirt? It said, I walk with Slater.
Amazing. I didn't actually notice that.
Yeah.
That is actually pretty great. Asuka and Dana Brooke took on Alexa Bliss and Mickie James in a tag team match. Asuka lock on Mickie James, got the victory. Happy for Dana Brooke. Got a nice win here.
Yeah.
After the women's tag match, Asuka and Mickie beat down Asuka and Dana Brooke, but Nia Jax quickly comes to the ring. Alexa is able to escape, but Mickie's not so lucky as Nia delivers a Samoan drop to her as Bliss looks on. Heyman and Lesnar are walking backstage when Angle stops them to remind Heyman to try and keep the peace, and Paul promises he will sell the main event of WrestleMania and be positive about Roman. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar make their way to the ring, and once they are in, a wall of wrestlers is formed on the ramp. Heyman says Angle has been a terrible coach for Rousey and that this wall is just overcompensating by a man who has no control. Heyman says he swears to tell the truth, so help him God. The truth is, before WrestleMania 30, he said that Brock would beat the streak, and once it happened, no one laughed except for Brock and Heyman laughing at everyone else. Paul says the only two people who have beaten The Undertaker at WrestleMania will face off in 6 days, and that everyone... You know, I wish they would have played that up more. They've mentioned it a couple times, yeah. But it's really, like, the two guys who have beaten the fucking Undertaker at WrestleMania, it's kind of a big deal. I wish they would have done that more. Everyone acts like it is Roman Reigns' destiny to beat Brock. However, the truth is that this Sunday, Lesnar will pin Roman in the middle of the ring. It's not a prediction, it's a spoiler. If Brock gets injured beforehand and Roman gets the title at WrestleMania, this will be the last time you see Brock and Heyman on Raw, and you'll be seeing Brock in the UFC. where he will be get popped for another drug violation, by the way. Heyman says the aura that he built around Lesnar since 2002, that Brock looks down on the rest of the locker room and fights when and where he wants, is 100% real because he knows what he's worth, and no one in the world can pay what Brock is worth since he's a once-in-a-lifetime athlete. Roman doesn't have any options because both them and his ass are owned by Brock. Reigns will have to go home to his family on Sunday and tell him that he didn't beat Lesnar, and he won't be the big dog. He'll just be another notch in his belt. And Roman, right? And he'll just be Brock Lesnar's bitch. What, Travis?
He'll fail another drug test. Whatever you said. Nowhere, I'm sorry.
I'm not wrong.
And then everybody, like, all the fans will be like, how did you wrestle in WWE then?
Roman Reigns comes up but gets blocked by the wrestlers on the ramp. He asks why all these full-time guys are protecting a part-timer like Brock. They talk about it and clear a path for Roman to get to Brock.
I did like that moment.
Yeah,
I
was like, locker rooms.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah, why the fuck are you protecting this dude that shows up once a month? I did appreciate that. Roman stares at Brock from outside the ring before he makes his way up the stairs, never breaking eye contact with Lesnar as Brock tells him to think about what he's doing. The two circle the ring as they size each other up, but Brock exits the ring and grabs his title. And after pacing the ring, Lesnar enters with a steel chair. And before Brock can strike, Roman hits him with four Superman punches that daze Brock. As Lesnar tries to get to his feet with the chair, Roman lays him out with a fifth punch and grabs the Universal Championship. And as Roman looks at the sign, Brock gets to his feet and lays him out with an F5 and takes his title back. So that was Monday Night Raw.
I'm mad we didn't get a tug of war with the title.
I wanted tug of war part two, and I'm not lying. It would have taken some fucking balls for them to do that a second time, and I would have laughed so hard.
I was so scared it was gonna happen when they both looked at it, and I was like, oh no.
I would have laughed so hard. The fucking balls the grapefruits on Vince McMahon for him to go through with that a second time. I would actually stand up and clap. That would be fucking fantastic. But that was Raw. SmackDown tonight. Mixed match challenge finals tonight. Asuka and The Miz take on Charlotte and Bobby Roode. Also, 205 Live tonight. The final show before Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali face off on the WrestleMania pre-show for the Cruiserweight Championship. I'm happy they're on the pre-show. They're going to get 20 minutes, and it's going to be fantastic. For SmackDown tonight, the main event, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. We'll learn more about Styles versus Nakamura. We're just 5 days away from the in-ring return of Daniel Bryan. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. And I think it will be Rusev Day on Sunday. I think Rusev is going to win his third U.S. title, but I'll say more of my predictions on the live show tomorrow, 7 Eastern, on Google Hangouts. Link will be on the page, and I'll record it for podcast purposes and put it up on Podomatic, and it will be saved on YouTube. Anything else you two want to add? Just a short show.
Nope.
Just that the North American title looks amazing.
Yep. If you haven't seen the title, go on Triple H's Twitter or go on our Facebook page. The North American title is now the nicest looking belt in the company by a long shot. All right, so that's going to do it from me, from Travis, from Aaron, and from the MIA Ashton. We will see you tomorrow with maybe a couple of special guests as well along the way. 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific on Google Hangouts, and the link will be on our Facebook page. We'll see you tomorrow night, guys.